So last time we covered Blowtorch at Psycho.com, and this time we're going to cover the rest of the Bone Chillers series. So here we go. Volume 1, Beware the Shopping Mall. Robin goes on a shopping spree in Wonderland Mall, where the mannequins take over the personalities of her friends, and only by being lured out of the mall can the real children reclaim their bodies. This is a not bad horror premise, to be honest. I do think it's funny when any kind of story has one thing that the main characters must not do, and somehow they always end up doing that one thing every time. Like Mr. Mitzelplick. All he has to do is not say his name backwards, and yet they get him every time. Likewise, if all the mannequins have to do is stay in the mall, how hard could that be? Especially a 1994 mall, when this book was printed. I would kill to spend my entire life in the malls of 1994. That's like my dream. 2. Little Pet Shop of Horrors. Cassie discovers that the new pet shop in town turns kids into dogs. Well, I could see this being a requested service by some parents. I mean, let's face it, some kids are duds, and a dud of a dog is a lot easier to manage than a dud of a kid. 3. Back to School. Fitz thinks there's something strange about the new school cook when his friends become addicted to the food and gain monstrous appetites. There is definitely something wrong with the cook at your school if the food is good. On one hand, let's say the school's cafeteria decided to start serving pizza every single day. I might think it was weird, but also, who's going to tell their parents and blow it for everyone? What fool would do that to us all? Have you no sense of camaraderie? We're in this together with these rectangular pizzas that are pretty shitty, but hey, shitty pizza is better than even the best of school lunches. 4. Frankenturkey. A zombified turkey goes after students Kyle and Annie. Wait a minute, isn't this also a movie? Okay, Thanksgiving. Yes, I just looked up the description and it begins, "At the first Thanksgiving in 1621, a topless pilgrim girl is chased and slain with a tomahawk wielded by an evil demonic turkey, which quips, 'Nice tits, bitch.'" It's pretty generous to call that a quip. This heroine is played by someone named Wanda Lust. I think I see where this is going. My suspicion is that Frankenturkey probably is less exploitative than Thanksgiving. 5. Strange Brew. Wanting to make her life more interesting, Tori finds a notebook full of spells and runs into trouble when she can't control the magic. I could see this happening to like a dad who doesn't really read the directions when assembling furniture or whatever. He just dives into the middle. Are spell books written like textbooks where you learn a simple spell, then maybe a more complex one builds on that and so on? That seems like it'd be wise, but on the other hand, some crazy-ass book that some old witch wrote in her giant mushroom house or whatever may not conform to the typical rules. 6. Teacher Creature. Joey and Nate discover that their new science teacher is a mutant frog who likes to eat sixth graders. Sixth graders specifically? I would probably go either younger or older. Sixth grade seems close to peak unwashed yet smelly age. 7. Frankenturkey 2. Frankenturkey returns from the grave after Kyle and Annie make wishes on his wishbone and goes after them again. Okay, I just made an important discovery. We just went over the movie Thanksgiving, and I figured there must be a Thanksgiving 2. There isn't, but there is a Thanksgiving 3, which has this plot summary. Foul-mouthed villain Turkey T-U-R-K-I-E, carves through the likes of a rapping grandma, a mindless puppet, a wig-wearing inventor, a bisexual space worm, and their equally ridiculous friends on his quest to recover the last copy of Thanksgiving 2. Thanksgiving 3 covers the existence of Thanksgiving 2, which is kind of hilarious and awesome. I wasn't interested in Thanksgiving until this exact moment. Well, let's be fair, I wasn't disinterested when the top-billed character from the first one is Topless Pilgrim. 8. Welcome to Alien Inn. Stranded on at an inn during a blizzard, Matt enjoys the snow and the time off from school until he learns that the innkeeper and all the other guests are aliens who have come to Earth to study human life. Guys, you blew it on the name. Alien Inn is what you're looking for. Alien Inn, not Alien Inn. That's awkward. 9. Attack of the Killer Ants. Disgusted by the multitude of red ants that threaten the school picnic, Ryan and Alex go on an ant-squashing spree, only to be targeted by a huge hairy monster of an ant that wants to make the boys into slaves. Nothing like a classic revenge tale. Do you think it's possible to destroy an anthill from the outside, like squashing the ants one by one as they emerge? I feel like you could take on a serious project of smashing ants that lasted weeks, and there would still be more ants coming from out of that hole. 10. Slime Time. The mucus from Jeremy's sneeze turns into a blob, threatening to eat everyone in town. Super gross. Love it. I'm a sucker for a good blob. I think blobs are a severely underrated monster that rarely get their place among vampires and werewolves and so on, but they're so gross and so fun. I mean, it's a blob. You can't reason with a blob. Blobs have nothing to say about the state of humanity. They just attack people, skeletonize them, and everyone screams. 11. Toilet Terror. Hans and Ellie do battle against a slimy monster who lives in their toilet. You know, I just said I loved blobs. This sounds like another blob, honestly. But whatever, I'm not going to go back on blobs, so I guess I'll have to stand by my love and be happy about two blob stories. I'm seeing a lot of these books were written by different authors, so maybe the two authors didn't know the other was working on a blob story. In which case, the publisher is the real problem here. Why would you put out your two blob stories back to back? That's just stupid. 12. Night of the Living Clay. Tasha fights back against a band of clay monsters living in the basement of her house. Okay. We had two blobs, and now we've got clay monsters, muckmen, which are pretty blob adjacent. This series went all in on slimes. I applaud the commitment, but I don't love the arrangement in the series. 13. The Thing Under the Bed. A boy fights back against a creature hiding under his bed. Can someone do a teen series like this with a blob made of old semen? It's super gross, but maybe this is the sort of cautionary tale these youngsters need so they'll stop touching themselves and ruining the moral fabric of our society. 14. A Terminal Case of the Uglies. A new school photographer is turning the student body into monsters. You know, it would be funny to find out a school picture day photographer was painstakingly photoshopping everyone to look like 20% worse. A little tired, a little shitty. I wonder if you could pay the photographer to do that. That would be kind of awesome. 15. Tiki Doll of Doom. Lucy gets a tiki doll necklace from her aunt, which has the power to turn her dreams into reality. Okay, here's a little trivia I found. In French, this series is known as, I don't know how to say French, but Froid dans le dos, which translates to cold in the back, and follows a different order than the American version. Only 15 of the original books were published in this line, but the 15th book, Le Homard en Cavale, which translates to The Lobster on the Run, seems to be exclusive to this line, as it is about a lobster going after two kids on Christmas, which bears no resemblance to any of the books in the original English line. Is Christmas lobster a French thing? Is that... okay, whatever. 16. Queen of the Gargoyles. During a visit to her aunt's apartment building, Isabella discovers that the gargoyles decorating the place are alive, and her aunt may be their queen. Well, all right, I don't know that I see the problem here. If there are gargoyles, but your aunt is their boss, and your aunt likes you well enough to have you over, where's the issue? Geez, though, you'd think a gargoyle queen could score a standalone home. Or maybe a whole private floor and a high-rise so she could be close to other gargoyles or something. Royalty used to mean something in this world. 17. Why quit the babysitter's club? Rosie, a reluctant young sitter, agrees to sit for her new neighbors, whose child is a real monster. This is a pretty good setup if you've read Babysitter's Club, which I haven't because why would I? I had no interest in babies nor babysitting, and now that I've had a vasectomy, I can confidently say that reading those books would have been time wasted. Thank goodness I was reading about blobs, something I'm far likelier to encounter. 18 is blowtorch at psycho.com, covered. 19. Night Squawker. Paul discovers that his new pet parrot has the power to predict doom. Training a parrot to say ominous things is pretty funny. Like if I trained a parrot to say, "No, Poon Master Flex, stop killing me," and then when the cops discover my body, she's trying to get this damn parrot to shut the hell up. 20. Scare Bear. Tim throws out his childhood teddy bear, who begins to haunt him. Oh yeah, that one hits hard. I still have my childhood teddy bear, you guys. I don't have him on the bed, but he's still here. There are a few objects in life that I feel the need to keep that long, but I just can't imagine that guy in the garbage. Tim is the real monster here and deserves to be haunted. 21. The dog ate my homework. Azzy Appleton and her friends have the power to make any lie come true, but they get in over their heads when they unleash giant termites. This is kind of confusing. If your power is the ability to make any lie come true, it's not really a lie anymore. So if you say something that's true, it won't happen? Or I guess it already did happen, so you don't need to wish for it? I guess regardless, I'm a bit curious how this ends up unleashing giant termites. You know, kids and their constant lies about giant termites. 22. Killer Clown of King's County. Zeke becomes the assistant to a clown who is a master of dark magic. I was not aware up till this moment that clowns had assistants. That seems like the kind of position that's hard to fill. I need someone who's very organized, but also has patience for shenanigans on a level that is almost supernatural. 23. Romeo and Juliet. Lexi suspects a new girl, Julie, who ends up becoming a monster, with Lexi's friend Fitz as the main course. What? Lexi suspects a new girl, Julie, who ends up becoming a monster, with Lexi's friend Fitz as the main course? Did something get lost in this translation here? Well, whatever, who cares? It's clearly one of those, we've got the name, now let's make up a story things.
Goosebumps. Reader beware, you're in for a scare.